Hi. We're very happy to be here today to share with you our Putting Healthcare Back into School project. Let's see if I can make that work. Our disclosures, yeah, we don't have any relationships to disclose. Putting Healthcare Back into Schools is a 5-year demonstration project. We've been working on it. This is actually year 6. We had a little extra money, so we've been able to expand it. And what we did was what we're looking at is the efficacy of putting a full-time school nurse in schools that are low-income, highly Hispanic, and linking that school nurse to a school health clinic, giving the nurse very strong parameters and directions as to what they ought to be doing, so then our grant evaluator can come back and measure the outcomes. We have two elementary schools and 2 middle schools in our project. So our generous sponsors, Lucile Packard Foundation for Children's Health and Lucile Packard Children's Hospital at Stanford. Our partners were San Jose Unified School District, which is about 40 miles down south of here. The School Health Clinics of Santa Clara County, which is its own FQHC and totally separate from San Jose Unified, and Stanford Department of Pediatrics, where Dr. Rodriguez and Diana are from. So why were our funders interested in funding this project? Well, as everybody has been saying, we see an increased number of kids with complex medical conditions in our schools. And in California, we have seen a decrease in the number of school nurses available to handle those problems. We know that asthma is the 3rd leading cause of hospitalizations amongst children, and we know that the hospitalization rates are higher for our low-income and our minority populations. Now, in San Jose Unified, we have a full, it's just over 25% of our population has been identified as having a chronic health problem. Now, that number has gone up through this project because our school nurses are identifying more kids with chronic health problems as they have time to work with them. We know that of the 25%, 34% are identified as having asthma. So just a brief summary on San Jose Unified. Like I said, we're in the heart of Silicon Valley, just south of here. We have 32,000 students. We are a long, narrow district, about 22 miles long and 4 miles wide. In the south, we have very high-income, white, Asian population. When we get up into the north, that's our downtown area. And in the downtown, we have very low-income and mostly Hispanic populations. The 4 schools were chosen for the project because they have those demographics and because they're very close to one of the school health clinics. 2 of the schools are within walking distance to the school health clinic. So our project objectives were pretty simple. We want to improve medical management for our kids with chronic health problems. And during the first year of the project, we decided to look at kids with asthma. We want to establish a medical home for our kids, getting them access to health care. And we wanted to develop an advocacy plan to increase the nurse-to-student ratios in California. Okay, and now Diana's going to talk about the data and how we did it.
Thanks so much, Melinda, for setting the first part of our presentation. I'm really grateful for the opportunity to be here. I've been working with Melinda and Professor Eunice Rodriguez the last 4 years on the evaluation piece, which is a unique aspect of the project in that it was an intentional part of the grant to have a formal evaluation piece to the project so we can better assess the impact of school nurses in the demonstration project. So a little bit about our analysis. We utilized a quasi-experimental design. So we had the 4 schools with full-time nurses, and we identified 5 control schools that were matched given their similar demographic profiles with the school district. And so we were really lucky to have an amazing and extensive data warehouse that the school district provided. So we were able to look at individual level student data that included health condition data, absenteeism data, as well as demographic data. And we wanted to look at what was the change after just 1 year of full implementation of the project in 2008-2009. And we compared it with 1 year before the project in 2006-2007, with 07-08 serving as sort of the planning transition year of the project. And so, you know, today we're just going to share, highlight two pieces of our ongoing analysis, and the first of which we're really interested in looking at absenteeism. I think the presentations mentioned earlier that important link that school nurses and health have on student absenteeism, and then what that translates for students' health and well-being and academic success in that trajectory in the future. And so we were really interested at absenteeism due to illness because we were really lucky, again, that the data warehouse was able to disaggregate not just total absenteeism, but absenteeism due to the cause of an illness. And so we were able, for our logistic regression analysis, which we'll go over, we looked at predictors of absenteeism due to illness in these two school groups for the 2 years. And then the second piece we're interested is, what does this translate into the cost savings? We know there's a lot of research out there that shows that school nurses are cost effective, and we wanted to see, specific to this project, what did that translate into cost savings? And so here, Melinda mentioned, here are sort of the profile of our four demonstration schools that were selected, given that they were the most high need, low SES, and Hispanic, Latino populations in the district, and then the five schools that were selected given their similar profiles. Although, you know, they're similar, there's still about a 10% difference in the demonstration schools for students who identified as Hispanic or Latino or who are enrolled in the free reduced program. And so, so looking again, our first area of interest was looking again at absenteeism due to illness. And so one of our key findings was this change that we observed just after 1 year of full implementation of the project among the demonstration schools comparing to the comparison schools. So we see a decrease among the demonstration schools in mean absences due to illness, and then a slight increase among the comparison schools. And the comparison schools, again, there was no change in terms of nursing time. And the only main difference in the demonstration schools was that there was a full-time nurse, and as well as the emphasis on chronic care management. And so, you know, and this was statistically significant. And then for 2008, 2009, what this translates is about half a day difference just from these two school groups alone. And if you think about what half a day means, it seems sort of small, but sort of the implications of that, if you look, you know, district-wide and what this translates into, not just funding, but student health, well-being, and academic success. And so we also looked at elementary school students in our nine project schools, and we saw that these differences persisted. So again, we saw a drop in the demonstration schools and an increase in the comparison schools. And this is important to think about because, you know, there's a lot of research pointing to the need for early intervention for health reasons and students' academic success, and school nurses can play an important role in intervening at early stages. And so really, and then we were interested in seeing if these differences between the two school groups, the demonstration and then the full-time demonstration and then the control schools, persisted after controlling for a number of different covariates, predictors of, you know, absenteeism and asthma. And so we ran a logistic regression model on two outcomes. So one looking at the likelihood of missing a day due to illness versus none. And then the second one we looked at among students who missed at least 1 day due to illness, what was the likelihood of missing more than 3 days versus just 1 to 2. And as you can see, I mean, we controlled for a number of covariates, and we also controlled for the 06-07 absenteeism due to illness data. And we saw that in the demonstration schools, if you look at the odds ratio highlighted in yellow, that for both models, demonstration schools had about 12 to 13% less odds of missing the higher, you know, one day versus zero, and then 3 days versus 1 to 2 compared to the control schools. And so, you know, we're looking at these interesting findings that we did see a reduction in absenteeism due to illness, as well as, you know, these differences persisted after controlling for the different covariates. And so we were interested, so what does this translate, again, into the cost savings, tangible cost savings? And so we were interested in looking at three levels. So one at the school district level, one at a local economic level, and then also a glimpse into sort of the potential health healthcare costs associated with it. And so, as many of you know attendance is related to school funding, and so we wanted to calculate what the proportion of the absences due to illness was related to lost funds from ADA funding, and what a change in the mean absences could result in. And so for our calculations, the change from the 06-07 to 08-09 resulted to about $50,000 in ADA funding alone. And again, this is just absences. And then the second layer, we worked with our colleagues, the health policy group at Stanford, and she helped us calculate a per-student parental work wage associated with an absence due to illness. And again, we looked at the two groups and we compared the 2 years, and the change that we saw, the improvement in absenteeism in the demonstration schools alone, was estimated to be over $70,000 in parental wages saved. So parents, you know, were taking their kids less, you know, to the doctor, or were not taking days off as much because of the healthier outcomes. And then lastly, this is just a snippet, but so we were interested also, what are the ER visits related to asthma? What does that translate into costs? And so this was based on a parent survey that we found, and again, we found a higher rate of ER visits due to asthma in the control schools, and then the equivalent of that in terms of medical costs, using a mean, a value from this database, which I can talk more about in the Q&A, was that the demonstration schools had about $30,000 less in ER costs because of the, you know, with the associated with the project. So I'm going to turn it over to Melinda, who wants to share just a few sort of.
She does the data part. I just wanted to share a few of the additional accomplishments that came out of, they weren't designed into the program, but they were a result of the program. If we think back to when we had our H1N1 epidemic and our district was able to collaborate with our public health department, we worked closely with Dr. Fenster-Scheib, our public health officer, and we, because we had the extra nurses, we actually did a school-based immunization program and did over 16,000 vaccinations of kids. We also then took what we learned in H1N1, and when Tdap came into California last year, we worked with public health again. This time we only did one clinic, but we heavily promoted the public health department clinic. We worked with the immunization registry, making sure that those were in, and collaborated. And when the due date came, we only had 14 kids out of over 14,000 that didn't have their Tdap that first day, and our waivers are less than 1.5%. And it came out of that collaboration with our public health department. And really cool thing I'm real excited about that we're just looking at now is we're looking at an opportunity gap that we didn't know existed. Back in 2007, we found at both our project schools and our comparison schools that if you had asthma, you were less likely to be proficient or advanced on our test scores, state test scores, than the students who had no chronic health problem at all. Over the course of the 4 years, you can see this gap close, 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 and at the end of the 4 years, the student with asthma in our project schools are just as likely to be proficient or advanced on their test scores as the students that don't have asthma or any health problem. Now, in our comparison schools, that gap still exists. There was no movement on that gap at all. So the nurses focused on asthma, those kids moved from here to here, and we closed that opportunity gap for our kids with chronic health problems. We've also leveraged increased funding. We now have school nurses at 7 of our schools full-time, and we're collecting that data, trying to get a little bigger sample size. We've also cut down the kids that don't have health insurance. We had started with about 10%, because our district is really on getting kids health insurance. We've worked very hard, and we've cut that down to 4%. And increased community collaboration and partnerships. When you have a full-time nurse and somebody comes to you and says, hey, we would love to vision screen every kid in your school. And by the way, we'll bring a mobile van that will fit them for their glasses and make them for them and put them on their base at your school site. You're able to say, yes, yes, we can. But when we don't have a full-time school nurse, we can't do that because it's the nurse that's coordinating that. And then finally, we've really worked hard on the project dissemination. We've worked with, we've been published in the Journal of Political Sociology. Dr. Rodriguez and Diana won a research award for that presentation. That was in February of last year for that article. We're currently getting ready to be published in the Journal of School Health. We have been fortunate to be invited to Washington, D.C. to talk about our project and our outcomes, and even got the notice of Secretaries Duncan and Sebelius. So that's where we are, and that's all we have.
Wonderful, wonderful.